For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that's all she wrote, with the Celtics a commanding 33-point win in Miami tonight.
Since early in the season, when they lost four in a row, have lost four in a row again. Need to fall to 24 and 23. And depending on the outcome of Orlando's game tonight at Dallas, Miami could fall.
And clock at two. Impossible shot.
Shea already with eight. Make it 11 in the fourth quarter.
For Duncan, 5 seconds left for the lead. Short, rebound Butler for the win. And the Heat lose to the Wizards, 110 to 108.
What the f*** is wrong with the Miami Heat? I don't exactly know, but that's the question that I'm going to try to answer today. Well, more specifically, who is to blame for the Miami Heat's recent struggles? Is it so recent? I don't exactly know. Just for a little bit of context, I'm recording this a couple hours after the Miami Heat got embarrassed on their home floor by the Washington Wizards. I just made a post-game reaction video to that. Make sure to go check it out. I wasn't necessarily angry, because at this point, I'm not surprised, because we've seen the same thing all season. It's starting to look exactly like we saw last year. So my question is, who exactly is to blame? Now, I do want to preface this video by kind of saying this may be a very surface level video. Maybe you may take it that way, but that's because it's truly hard to quantify why the Heat are the way that they are. You can't exactly just put a number and pinpoint certain people and pick blame, because in reality, there's a million different factors. There's all kinds of schemes and there's luck involved. But I kind of wanted to point out the people that are the reasons that maybe have been most disappointing to me this season. And I've accumulated all of that into this pie chart right here. And that's what we're going to get into today. And you can see, we're going to work our way up to that. There is one major reason that I believe is the majority of the fault for the Heat's struggles. That being said, let's start at the bottom. Y'all see we got this one small sliver, this 1%, and I'm contributing 1% of the blame to Kyle Lowry, just because I couldn't let this season, I couldn't let this video go on without a little sliver of Kyle Lowry slander. Now, I don't want to call it slander, because he is what he is, which is a 37-year-old point guard. But this year for the Miami Heat, he only played 37 games before he was, of course, traded to the 76ers. He started 35 of them, and in those starts, he averaged 8 points per game, 4 assists to 1 turnover, 43% from the field, and 38% overall. So overall, it's generally not bad numbers. I mean, he was very efficient, particularly from three. You know I love that 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, because that's the same thing that I've been praising Terry Rozier for. But still, to have a guy that's getting paid almost $30 million, averaging 8 points a game, that's not enough from Kyle Lowry, and that wasn't going to cut it. Now, a lot of this wasn't even his fault because they really had no other point guard on the roster other than Drew Smith, who obviously got hurt early on, but I didn't think he was that good to begin with. So they were kind of forced to play Kyle Lowry, maybe a lot more than Spoelstra wanted to. But on top of that, I don't even think like Kyle Lowry wanted to come off the bench. It really didn't seem like he wanted to sacrifice, because every chance he got in every interview in which the question was asked, do you want to start? He basically said, yes, I think I'm a starter in this league. And last year, we heard a lot of the same thing. Spoelstra obviously went with Gabe Vincent, and it kind of seemed like Kyle Lowry was not happy with that, not happy that he had to come off the bench. So this year he did start, but it still seemed like he was very frustrated with his role just in general, maybe not happy in this situation. So I do think that there was a lot of stuff like in the locker room that was potentially awkward just because he seemed disgruntled, I guess is a good way to say it. Now, I don't want to speculate on that too much because truthfully, I have no idea. And you know he's very close with Jimmy Butler, is still very close to Jimmy Butler. I have no idea. I would like to believe that they're very close still, because I think like Jimmy was the godfather to Lowry's daughter or something along those lines. But I also wonder, like, for the Heat to trade Kyle Lowry, did they get Jimmy's blessing on that? Did Jimmy approve on that? Did he want to do that? I don't really know, because we know Jimmy Butler wants to win a championship. So I'm truly curious if he like understood how bad Lowry was and knew he had to get traded, or is that something he was kind of happy about because Lowry wasn't that happy here to begin with? I don't know. So to not really speculate on all that locker room or off the court stuff, his on the court fit was not great. The efficiencies were good, yes. But like I said, the scoring was way, way, way too bad to be a starting point guard in this league, because the Miami Heat offense was terrible. And a lot of that is because you had a point guard that wouldn't even shoot. Kyle Lowry sometimes was taking 2 to 3 shots a game. And I just don't think you can win games when you have a point guard that's doing that. And on top of that, defensively, the dude is terrible. And again, he's 37 years old and he's slow. What do you expect? But he was getting torched on the defensive side of the ball. And that's why overall, I'm not even sure if he was a top 20 point guard in the league. I'm really not. Now, all of this being said, I only got him at 1% because I think they got a lot of other bigger issues. And obviously, Lowry hasn't been here for the last few weeks and the Heat are still struggling. Lowry's actually having a pretty nice start for Philly, though, by the way. He's putting up relatively the same numbers, but on a little bit better efficiency. But that being said, I really don't miss him. Like he isn't a starting quality point guard in this league anymore. And for that reason, I think they struggled a lot with him. But we see now they are struggling a ton without him. So moving on to the next little sliver here, we got Bam Adebayo. Now I gave Bam Adebayo 5% of the blame, which is not a lot. Keep that in mind. I am criticizing these guys, but look at the relative percentages. So don't come out here calling me a hater. Majority of this recent bad play or just lackluster season overall is not on Bam Adebayo. He's averaging 20 points a game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 51% from the field. But I put some blame on him because once again, we are seeing some regression in the second half of the season. This is the same thing that we saw last year. This season, Bam Adebayo, after the All-Star break, which is only 8 games, so keep that in mind. That's also part of the reason that I'm not giving Bam as high percentage of the blame, because still a small sample size of bad Bam Adebayo, but he's averaging 18 points per game, 8 rebounds, and 50%. So a little bit worse efficiency and only 2 points per game less and 2 rebounds less. So the numbers don't look drastically worse. But if you're watching Bam Adebayo, he does not look the same out there. Particularly this last week when he played against the Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, he can't rebound no more. He can't finish at the rim no more. He can't find his footing no more. He has been terrible. And against the Wizards, he did at 16-16, but it is the Washington Wizards. He's supposed to, and he did. So I do give him credit for that. But overall, post-All-Star break, but also the second half of the season, you know, which is a little bit before the All-Star break, he really has started to regress a little bit. Because earlier this year, he was at 21 points per game, playing elite defense. Now, I guess you're always going to get the elite defense, and he has continued to be phenomenal on that side of the ball, but he hasn't been the same. And as this team's second best player, you can't see these bad nights from him. You know, they should be more few and far between. And there's been a lot of like 30 percentage or you know, like games from the where he shot 30% from the field. You know, there's been too many of those late for my liking. Get it out rebounded by guys he shouldn't be. For that reason, I'm giving Bam just a small sliver of 5% of the blame. Now, this next one here, I don't have... It's the only one on here that's not like a direct person. It's injuries with 10% of the blame. Now, the Miami Heat being injured is nothing new, obviously, right? But I don't want to make excuses for this team, but I also don't want it to be lost how unlucky they really have been. Because I do think injuries play a factor, right? And again, I think it's a legitimate excuse because I'm only giving them 10% of the blame, right? Not too much. But if you look at the numbers here, the Miami Heat this year have the fourth most games lost to injury with 212 games lost. And if you look at the top five here, it's Memphis, Portland, Charlotte, Miami, and then the Atlanta Hawks. So all those teams surrounding them suck. So for the Miami Heat to still be in playoff contention while missing all these games, that is a credit to Eric Spoelstra and just the depth on this team and all the pieces around your main guys. Because if you look at this list right here of games lost due to injury, number one is Tyler Hero with 27 games missed for foot, knee, head, shoulder, ankle. Damn near like the nursery rhyme or whatever song. Head, shoulder, knees, and toes. That's Tyler Hero's injury report this year, right? Number two, Jimmy Butler, 13 games missed for foot, calf, and ankle. And then Bam Adebayo has missed the third most games on his team with 10 for the hip. So if you look at the guys who are getting injured, it's also your three best players. And because of that, the Miami Heat have a franchise-tying record, 31 different starting lineups. You know how insane that is to go into a season that's, you know, just a little, well, I guess you're three-fourths of the way done, and you've had 31 different starting lineups. That is not easy to maneuver around. I don't want to make excuses, but I do believe that's a fact. Now, the reason I only give this 10% blame and not more is because, well, Eric Spoelstra doesn't like to use it as an excuse. We know his mantra, next man up, we have enough. And that's something that I love, and that's something that I agree with. So if he's not going to sit there and blame excuses, well, obviously, I'm not going to do that either. And plus, I do believe that he'd have enough talent to be better than they are if they are missing Tyler Hero or Jimmy Butler or Bam. Because you had a game like tonight on the time I'm recording this against the Wizards. Yeah, you're missing Tyler Hero, but it was the Wizards. You should not, missing Tyler Hero is not an excuse for losing to the Washington Wizards. It's just not. And the Miami Heat have had a lot of bad games this year where they were missing a player or two. And there's not an excuse to lose those games. Plus, how many games have we seen the Heat win this year with guys missing? We saw them beat the Milwaukee. We saw them blow out the Milwaukee Bucks without Jimmy Butler. So we know they're capable of having games like that. So I don't think the injuries are a major excuse, but it is a factor nonetheless. Moving on here, the next little sliver we got is one that I know is going to be a hot topic because it's the most polarizing player on the team, and it's Tyler Hero, and I give him 15% of the blame. Now listen, I don't know how many times I have to say this. I love Tyler Hero. The dude is young, improving, and a three-level scorer. He's a great player. And there's not many, you know, young three-level scorers in this league. I really like Tyler Hero on this team. I personally do not think he is a great fit in the starting lineup. Now, if you look at his numbers this season, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 43% from the field, and an elite 40% from the three-point line. Those are great numbers. But if you're watching these games, he doesn't fit well in that starting lineup. And there's all kind of numbers that prove this. I mean, you could go this year and just say the Miami Heat are 19-17 when Hero plays, and they're 35-29 overall. So not that big a difference, but at the very least, you could say that the Heat don't miss him, right? Because when Duncan Robinson starts, they're 18-9 this season. And that's a hell of a lot better than when Tyler Hero starts. Now, I don't want to get into these numbers too much because I've had many videos talking about Tyler Hero and his impact and bringing up all these statistics. And of course, all the comments I get saying, oh, you can't just look at the numbers, blah, blah, blah. But I do think more and more people are starting to agree with the idea that maybe Hero should come off the bench. Maybe he's better suited as a sixth man because now we're even starting to hear Ira Winderman talk about it. Barry Jackson talk about it. Ethan Skolnick talk about it. And these are all ideas that I was saying 3-4 months ago. It seems like more people are starting to agree with that. But either way, I don't want to get into those numbers because they've been said a ton, right? You can even go back to last season, Tyler Hero's numbers on the bench for starting and whatever. I just want to talk about his fit in that starting lineup because that's something that's actually opinion-based and we could have a real discussion there, right? Because we're all seeing it. And his fit with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo doesn't work great. Jimmy Butler and Bam are very efficient players. Tyler Hero is not, at least not from inside the arc this season. And I think that when he takes a lot of shots away from Jimmy and Bam, which he does, I don't think that's a good thing, especially compared to Duncan Robinson, who his fit is impeccable. The dribble handoffs, the pick and rolls that go both ways. You'll have Duncan roll, you'll have Bam roll, and they could do the little pocket pass to each other. You have Duncan lob it up to Bam. You have Duncan curling around, sitting in the corner, everything. And guys that can drive as good and attack like Jimmy and Bam and find him moving all over the place because Duncan Robinson never stops running, the fit is just great. And now Duncan Robinson doesn't just sit on the three-point line. He can score inside the arc, beat guys off a dribble. Like we said, throw a little lob pass, find guys back door, find Bam in the dunker spot, find Jimmy cutting to the basket. It's just an amazing fit. It truly is. And people may say, oh, we'll start Tyler Hero instead of Terry Rozier. Terry has been hooping of late, shooting-wise and facilitating. And I just can't take that away for Tyler Hero. And again, I'm only giving Tyler Hero 15% of the blame. That's a small, small, small fraction in the grand scheme of things. But I don't think his fit in this starting lineup is great. We know he doesn't want to come off the bench. Otherwise, Spoelstra might have tried it by now. And I'm not saying trade Tyler Hero. I'm not saying, you know, he should be out of the rotation. I just think he's better suited as a sixth man. At the very least, you clearly don't need him because they're winning without him. They're also losing without him. So does he have a direct impact, like a huge impact either way? I don't think so. Moving on, though. The next guy that I got here, the second to last person on the blame pie chart here.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is Jimmy Butler at 18%, so more blame than Tyler Hero. Now, the reason I give Jimmy Butler, you know, the biggest pot here so far is he's the best player on this team. And when your team is struggling, I think majority of the blame has to go on the best player. And we know Jimmy Butler likes to coast. And me saying that majority of the blame is on him is not me saying that I'm mad at him, because I've been a record on a lot saying I'm okay with Jimmy Butler coasting if it means that we're going to get playoff Jimmy God mode, Michael Jordan 2.0 in the postseason. I'm okay with Jimmy coasting. As long as he picks and chooses his spots a little bit better so they actually make the playoffs. Because what good is saving yourself a playoff Jimmy if you miss the playoffs? That's why a game like tonight versus the Wizards, you would have liked to see Jimmy Butler have more than 22 points. You would have liked to see him be a little bit better down the stretch, maybe have more than 6 free throw attempts, maybe not settle for all the threes that he did in that fourth quarter. You would have liked to see that. But there's a lot of games earlier this season, too, when the Heat were struggling. They were on a 7-game losing streak just a couple weeks ago. And Jimmy, I think, waited way too long to turn it on. Now, he eventually did. That's how we saw this team start to turn it around a little bit. They won like 7-10. But he still waited too long, in my opinion. And I think he needs to pick and choose his spots a little bit better. But again, regardless of what I think of that, we know he coasts. And the reason this Heat team is not a top 4 seed easily is because he coasts. If Jimmy Butler was to go balls to the walls, I think they could easily be a top 4 seed in the East. But I prefer Jimmy saving himself and going into the postseason. But regardless, he's the best player. He should get majority of the blame. And on top of that, I do want to say, too, that the Miami Heat are 23-22 when Jimmy Butler plays this year. So if I'm going to say all these stats for Tyler Hero, I got to give it back for Jimmy, too. So you tell me this Heat team is 6 games over 500, but only 23-22 when Jimmy Butler plays? Now, that's not for me to say, at the very least, you don't need him, because they very clearly need Jimmy Butler. Me saying that about Tyler Hero is not necessarily just looking at the numbers, it's the eye test. Because I think they have a lot of guys that do what Tyler Hero does, like Terry Rozier. I like, you know, Jaime Jaquez, I think, could take a lot of the scoring load that Tyler Hero does. But they don't have guys that can do what Jimmy Butler could do. So obviously he's very critical, but he is the best player on this team. And when you're struggling, I'm going to give you majority of the blame. Except for this last large chunk that y'all see right here. At 51% of the blame, I'm giving the Miami Heat struggles this season to the front office, man. Because at the end of the day, they are the people that put this team together. And that includes Pat Riley, and that includes Mickey Yarrison, and that includes Andy Ellisberg, and everyone else that has a say on who to get, who to trade for, whose money, who to spend your money on. That is who I put majority of the blame on. Because this Heat team, going into last season, had obvious flaws. And if you remember, they ran it back last season. Almost missed the playoffs, and then made the NBA Finals. So going into this season, Miami Heat had obvious flaws once again, and they ran it back. And now here we are as the 8th seed, potentially about to miss the playoffs as well. Now, it is a little, I want to just touch on this for a little bit. It's a little confusing on how I feel about the front office as a Heat fan, because if you would have asked me at the end of last regular season, I would have said the front office did a terrible job. We're the 8th seed. We almost missed the playoffs. But then they made the NBA Finals, so hey, maybe this front office does know what they're doing. I can't sit there and be jealous of the Celtics making all these moves and the Bucks making all these moves when we were the last team standing. But I also don't know how fluky a run that was. Is it fluky because the Heat also made the Conference Finals the year before and the NBA Finals 2 years before that? So it's just for me struggling as a Heat fan. Because at the same time that I say last year's finals run wasn't a fluke, I can't also sit here and say that I feel comfortable as an 8 seed going into the playoffs again, because that's just human nature. You know what I mean? But the reason that I still give the front office most of the blame is because you had obvious flaws that weren't addressed. We knew this Heat team had no size. They did absolutely nothing to get any size except sign a minimum contract Thomas Bryant and a minimum contract Orlando Robinson. We knew this Heat team, after losing out on Gabe Vincent, did not have a backup point guard, let alone a starting point guard with Kyle Lowry. And guess how many guards they signed in the offseason? It was none. They went into this season with a starting guard, point guard rotation of Kyle Lowry and Drew Smith. Are you kidding me? You cannot win games like that. This Heat team did not have a starting power forward last year. They were starting Caleb Martin, who was like 6'4", who did as good as he could possibly do, but he's 6'4". Then the Miami Heat go into this season with no starting power forward again. We're playing around all season between Caleb Martin and Hayward Highsmith, and now it's Nikola Jovic, who's 20 years old and wasn't even a part of the rotation earlier this season, but now he's our starting point guard, our starting power forward, and we got to rely on him. That's a problem. That's scary. It's tough to win a championship when you're starting a guy who was 20 years old and was even out of your rotation earlier this year. And Jovic has been pretty fine of late, but of course he's very inconsistent because of his age. And the Miami Heat didn't do anything to address that power forward position either. Now, I'm going to give them a little bit of credit because Terry Rozier has been a nice trade so far. Got off to a rocky start, but I really like what he's been of late. He's way better than Kyle Lowry. I like Patty Mills, who's gotten some run over the last couple games. And I also like DeLon Wright, who'll probably be out of the rotation. Patty Mills will probably be out of the rotation too, but I like those guys. And they did make a move to get Terry Rozier. But they still haven't addressed the size issue. We're still sitting here wondering who the long-term power forward is going to be. We don't know. And that's a problem. And when you're a team that has a guy like Jimmy Butler, who very clearly is good enough to lead a team to a championship series, and you didn't make any moves around the edges to get better, that's a problem. The Celtics got close. They went out there, got Jrue Holiday, got Kristaps Porzingis. The Bucks got close. They went out there and got Damian Lillard. That's what you do when you're close to winning the championship. You make some moves to put you over the top. And the fact that the Miami Heat front office sat there in the offseason twiddling their thumbs, doing nothing, that was very disappointing to me. I do wonder, though, how much of that Dame Lillard stuff impacts their offseason. We know Dame kind of, or maybe even Joe Cronin, the GM of the Blazers, kind of had the Heat in the chokehold where the Heat couldn't make no moves until he sent him over here. And it's possible the Heat had a whole game plan centered around getting Dame. And when that didn't happen, they had to pivot last minute when most of the guys were gone. But still, I don't care why they didn't do nothing. The point is they didn't. They should have known they couldn't get Dame. Or they should have had a better plan B. Because you're trying to win a championship and Jimmy Butler only has so many years left as this prime player. And it's unfortunate that it seems that they're wasting another season, because I still think this Heat team has a chance to click and turn it around and maybe make another run to the NBA Finals and maybe win it all this time if they don't get matched up with the Nuggets, because I'm not going to count out this team because they've proven to me that I should never count them out. But they should have put a roster around Jimmy Butler that makes me feel a lot better about their chances than the front office did. Anyways, that's really all I got to say for this video. Again, no hate to anyone. It's very hard to quantify this sort of thing. I just want to speak about a few things that I think are wrong with this team. And you can see through my list, a lot of it is on your top three players, because I think that's who deserves most of the blame. But let me know what y'all think down below. I'll be reading every single comment, so I'm curious to hear what y'all say. And please do like the video and subscribe, because it does greatly help me out a lot. The Miami Heat do play the Denver Nuggets next, and the Detroit Pistons for two games in a row after that. So this could all either go very bad or very good, but we'll see what happens. And I'll talk to y'all then. Peace out. Look,
pull up in the city trying to get that dead fast. Like, do it on my own, I don't need no dead weight. Like, had to kill him off, yeah, I need a head space. You know this homegrown bitch don't offend me.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.